The fine Eclipse Theater Company has decided to devote this entire season to the works of Kaya Cothron, a playwright from originally Maryland, then moved to New York, has taken over Chicago. But Kaya, welcome to the show. Welcome to Chicago. And you're now in where, Minneapolis on the phone?
Yes, and it's Kia.
Are you? You move around. You have a very, very lengthy history with Chicago theater, don't you, that I was not fully aware of until doing some research. One of your earliest plays, Seeking the Genesis, was performed at the Goodman Theater. So you go way back with Chicago, don't you?
Yeah, that was back in 96. Long time ago.
Well, and it got rave reviews. How does this kind of how does this relationship between you and the Eclipse Theater Company, how did this happen?
It sort of came out of the blue. I got an email from the artistic director of the theater, and I kind of started from there. I didn't know of Eclipse before, and I was really excited when they said they wanted to do an entire season of my plays. And so, I started from there, and then we had discussions about which plays.
Because you have a very substantial body of work. Was there anything a little daunting about the offer, in that I think as part of the offer they said, well, we'd also like to do a world premiere, so write a play for us. Do you know what I mean? It's like, well, yes, we'll do two of your old ones, but write a new one because we want to do a world premiere. That can be, I think, that, don't you think? I mean, I'd be a little, I'm not a playwright, but I'd be a little daunted by that. But also nicely flattered and challenged, too, don't you think?
Play was already written, but it had not been produced yet. It had a couple of readings in New York.
How lucky for you, then. That is the new one. The first one was a show called Force Continuum, which is a play that you wrote. It seems remarkably, and I guess you and the Eclipse Theater Company, knowing what's going on in the city of Chicago these days, the sort of notion of police, the relationship between the police and the public. This, you obviously picked this one because of the unbelievably topical nature of it, the race relations, in essence, race relations and criminal justice system, the confrontation of those two things. So did you immediately? Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, and the relationship between the public and the police, and it was actually originally produced in New York way back in 2001. So sadly, it's been topical for a long time.
Yeah, no kidding. It was originally based, if I'm not wrong, on a really, really horrific case of police abuse, correct?
No, it was, it was an amalgamation of many cases, but the story is fictional, but very much, after much research of a lot of cases that sadly become rather redundant.
You are also doing, believe me, after a short commercial break, I'm going to get to your novel, which I bought today. I haven't read it. I don't pretend to. In about 5 minutes after we talk a little more about your playwriting, when did you, you're a child of, I don't know, Cumberland, Maryland, but I guess it's on the banks of the Potomac. I looked at the, God love the internet for being able to show me things. And your mom was a homemaker and school volunteer and sometimes a nurse's aide, and your dad worked in a local paper mill. When did you, as a child, get the urge or struck by the lightning that is a writer's life?
Well, yeah, it's a, When I was in second grade, my teacher encouraged me to be a writer. But actually, even before then, the funny thing with my dad working in a paper mill is that we had all these reams of paper and pens and pencils that he brought home from work.
Oh, come on. Oh, wow. Of course. Duh. Yeah.
So my sister is a year older. My mother said that actually it kind of started, especially when she went to school, and I felt lonely for a play my mate. But I started doing a lot of writing, making little books and things.
That's great. And when you're in school, and you start to think of, and it's tough. I mean, I'm a writer too, and you start to think of a writer's life and a career as a writer. You must at some point understand that maybe you don't. I don't remember if I felt that. Well, I'm not gonna make any money doing this. This is not the most practical career choice in my. I guess when I'm 18 and you were 18, you don't really think that way. But you determined. Was there a time when you were in school, in college, and or post college work where you said, because you did get a master's in theater arts at Columbia, that I want to make. This, I want to make the theater my life. Do you remember, can you recall at all? I know it wasn't a decision. You can? Good, good. I want to hear this. Go ahead.
I had been encouraged to be a writer. I decided I wanted to be a writer, but I didn't know what my discipline would be. And it wasn't until the very last semester of college that I took a playwriting class. And the final assignment was we all had to make a 15-minute scene from the stuff we've been working on the entire semester. And everybody else, because we were these infant playwrights, we didn't know what 15 minutes was. So everybody else went on 5 minutes. I, until that point, I've been kind of the star of the class. People really liked my work. But it went on for half an hour, and I heard this woman sighing, so I thought, okay, everybody's bored, but I will, this is my comeuppance for being the star of people all the time, so I just thought I would take it. And so then the lights came up in the classroom after my scene was finished, and when everybody else's scene would end, people would jump in and say, oh, I like this. This was great. I wish there was more of this. At the end of my scene, there was complete silence. No one said anything, which really startled me. And then I realized the person who I thought was sighing was crying.
Oh,
and
wow.
When people finally said things, including the teachers, it was sort of one-word things like poignant. And I realized all my years of school and writing classes, that all of the flattery that I had gotten meant nothing to me as much as having inadvertently rendered this audience to silence. And I was also very aware that it was these actors and this audience in this particular afternoon. It's a singular moment. It cannot be repeated.
Yep.
Every audience is different for every show. So I became very excited by the theater. And
wow, what a revelation.
And so recently when I had an idea for a book, I was to say an idea for a story that was much bigger than a play, then that became a book. But until then, I was ready for the theater.
What a remarkable, remarkable revelation that is. Wow. To me, it's like Newton and the apple, for goodness sake. I want to, before we take a short break, talk a little bit more about Kaya Cawthron's residency at the Eclipse Theater Company. This entire year, three shows of hers. The next one, Megastasis, is opening. It is open now. It opened July 13th.
Yeah.
It's running through August 20th at the Athenaeum Theater. What a great building that is. And we'll talk about that show specifically because that is getting its world premiere. I want to, Kai, remind you about something that was written about you. She has a history in Chicago. She had this playwright has a history in Chicago. Seeking the Genesis was at the New Goodman Studio Theater. It was a play about the drug Ritalin. But what the great theater critic Richard Christensen wrote, I don't know if you remember this. If he had written this about me, Kaya, I would have it tattooed on my arm. He says, he talks about the play, what makes her drama an occasion of great joy is the presence of a unique and powerful voice in the theater. Not since the emergence of August Wilson has there been a playwright who has created language in such a fever of fervent poetry. He goes on to say, now in her early 30s and a writer holder of several grants and prizes, including a recent grant from the Kennedy Center Fund for New American Plays, this gifted playwright needs to couple her language with a firm narrative form. When she does, it is going to be incredible. You remember that?
Yes, it was a long time ago. Yes.
Wow. Richard was a hero of mine and was a great, great theater critic. That is as good an endorsement as I have ever heard. We'll take a short break and we'll come back and talk about the playwright who has taken over the Eclipse Theater Company at the Athenaeum Theater. You can go to eclipsetheater.com. You can go to, when we talk about Kaya's book, her new and first, and I guess a long seeding novel, I'll give you her website when we come back. That's Ella Fitzgerald. And Kaya, is it Kaya or Kia, your first name?
Kia.
That's so interesting because the... There's a lovely young woman on my daughter's 13-year-old volleyball team who spells it the same way. And I say it, Kaya, because I scream, Kaya, hit it. You are in residence. So Kia, it shall be. Kia Cothran is sort of in residence at Chicago's Eclipse Theater with three plays. The first was Force Continuum. The second, currently running, is Megatastas, which is having its world premiere. Could you summarize this for the listeners? It seems like you have a very, very, I think from everything I've read of you and about you, you're a very socially conscious playwright. You don't... to abbreviate what you do. This is about a 19-year-old kid and who gets in some trouble, yes?
Yes. The title Megatastas is actually a made-up word that happens in the play, but it's a 19-year-old named Trey who... He lives with his grandfather. He has an infant, very caring for his child. But what happens is, at some point, he smokes a joint at the wrong time and sort of gets caught up in the whole criminal justice system.
Yeah.
It was very much inspired by Michelle Alexander's The New Jim Crow.
Sure.
About how the black community has been decimated by the war on drugs.
Well, sure, like most of your work, it has a political point of view. I will get up to see that. And the third one is, oh, no, I want to say I'm hooked on you now. What the things I've read, you do a little, it's one of the joys of the Internet is you can really get, you can get seduced by a writer, believe me. And just what Richard Christensen, just by what Richard Christensen said, that was more than enough for me. You also do some free readings and you do events throughout the year. So I will come to one of those too to meet you. The final show is the fall show, November 2nd to December 17th, called Breathe Boom. But you can go to Kia's website, now that I can pronounce her name. I'm going to spell it for you. It's KIACORTHRON-author, I'm not going to spell that for you, .com. KIACORTHRON-author.com. Kia, your new and first novel is titled The Castle Cross the Magnet Carter. It is your first novel. It is a long time in coming. It sounds, and I did, or I ordered it today from a bookstore, mind you, so I can pick it up tomorrow. It is about two sets of brothers, basically, in different places. One south and one in small town Maryland, which the confrontation, it's a coming of age story, is it not? Though I'm loath to use that term. What is it?
The first part of it is it takes place. It begins in 1941 and goes through 2010, and it's the perspective of four men. I mean, there are lots of women in the book as well, but the four protagonists are two sets of brothers. Two are white, Alabama, and two are black from small town Maryland, much like my town that I grew up. And they're in their youth at the beginning and old age by the end. And one of the white brothers is deaf, and one of the black brothers is gay. The other one becomes a lawyer during the early civil rights movement. And that's actually the climax of the book, and where the two families intersect is during the early civil rights movement.
Yeah, it sounds, on the surface, it sounds, and I'll read it this week and review it next week on the air, it sounds pretty amazing. It does sound, as you said, bigger than a play. Was it difficult to write? I mean, you have written, you've been a very prolific playwright, and the styles, if someone says, hey, you're a writer, you can write anything, I don't adhere to that at all. I think, you know, poetry is different than prose, and playwriting is different than narrative, long fiction. Was it easy for you to change? Did you have to change gears in a sense?
Well, because I hadn't written fiction since short fiction when I was very young in school, basically I was teaching myself how to write a novel with every draft of this novel. And I will say, I feel for me, there are certain differences, but I felt more similarities.
Uh-huh.
Although I think that's partly because I wrote a novel as a playwright would. I have a friend who's a director. When the novel first came out, not long after that, I ran into him in the theater in New York, and I found out, I didn't know that he was reading my novel. At that point, he said he was 20 pages near the end, and it's a big novel, 800 pages, so
wow.
he was close to the end. He reads aloud, so he'd run the entire book, I think, at his kitchen table aloud, because that's the way he likes to read. But it was interesting, because he said it made him think he was aware of me being, that it was written by a playwright, not just because of the dialogue, because many people say that playwrights, you know, it's our strength that we can be very strong with dialogue.
It better be your strength, also, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also because of the drama of it. And I actually wasn't really thinking that some novels can be very internal, and it doesn't necessarily have to be so dramatic.
Yeah.
But with me, as a dramatist, yes, there's rising action. It's Aristotelian all over the place.
Well, you have made my summer already, because I will go see see the play currently at Megatessis at the Eclipse Theater Company at the Athenaeum Theater, the great old Athenaeum Theater, 2936 North Southport.
Go to
Oh, it's fantastic. And you say this having, you know, already done The Good Men and Pegasus and having some history with this fabulous theater town. Eclipse Theater. Yeah, this is a good place for you, I think. This really is, and especially the kind of work you do. Kia Cawthorn, I'm going to give you the website again, because it's a cool, nice website, and you can order her book, too, her novel. It's KIACORTHRON eclipse-author.com, and it is eclipsetheater.com. Key, I look forward to meeting you sometime. I'm a great admirer, and I say this without having read or seen any of your work, which is I'm making an incredible leap of faith just on listening to you talk and reading what little I could find online that you've written. So I look forward to meeting you. Thank you, and I speak for the city of Chicago, and I hope you're having a grand time here, and welcome, and come back from Minnesota and
thank
see
you,
us.
Rick.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Interesting.
Okay.
Interesting.